Okay, you've got a vision for your business. You've got a vision of the positive change it's going to bring to the people who are in that slice of the marketplace. You've converted that vision to a mission statement. Not a hot air, bogus, corporate type mission statement, but one that really resonates with you. You know why you're in business, and you know why you're bringing this particular product and this particular service to this particular market. And you're deadly serious about it, and you're super inspired about it. And this is what becomes the foundation for everything that follows. Once you've got a vision, you're now ready to get involved in the all-important task of figuring out your positioning. Now, what does this have to do with naming your company? Very simple. If you're not crystal clear on your business's positioning in the marketplace or your product's positioning in the marketplace, you cannot come up with a million-dollar name. It won't happen. These great names do not happen by accident. They happen with preparation. And that preparation is talking to a lot of people and doing a lot of thinking. And that's why you don't see many good business names. And that's why nobody teaches you how to name a business. Because I'm not going to say it's hard, but I will say this. It's not something you can do casually. It's not something that you can do carelessly. It's not something that you can buy a software program that's going to do half of it for you. It's not something that you can cut and paste. It's something that has to come from your own mind. And you're fully capable of doing this. There's no problem doing this. You just have to go about it the right way. So you've got your mission. You have your vision. Now you're going to think about, okay, what positioning am I going to have for my company? Now, to understand the importance of positioning, I'm going to ask you three questions. Just toothpaste. What toothpaste do you use? Second question. Your car's making a weird noise. Where do you take it? Third and last question. You need some really good, reliable, consistently reliable marketing insight and advice. Where do you go? Toothpaste. You know what toothpaste you use. That tube that's in your bathroom has won the battle for positioning in your mind. Okay, when you wake up in the morning, you do not think, okay, I wonder what toothpaste I'm going to use this morning. I have so many options, so many choices. I could use brand A, I could use brand B, I could use brand C, I could use mint flavored, I could use fennel flavored, I could use a natural one, I could use one with whitener. You've made that decision and you've put that tube of toothpaste owns the position for toothpaste in your mind. Done. Second example. Hopefully, you've got a mechanic that you like. If you've got a problem, you go to him first. Now, maybe he's going to tell you you need to see a specialist or you need to, you know, go to somebody else because it's beyond his ability. But he's the guy you're going to go to first. Why? Because you know him, you trust him, you've had good experiences with him. You don't open the... Once you have a mechanic like that and you hear a weird noise in your car, you don't open up the phone book and go through every mechanic's name trying to figure out who to bring the car to this time. That mechanic has won the battle for positioning in your mind in the category of auto repair. Now, the third one, I'm kind of joking, but if you're looking for great marketing insight and advice, and you only had one person you could go to, and your life depended on it, who would you go to? There's one name that comes to mind. Hopefully it's mine, but it may be somebody else's. But my point is, there's one person who's won the battle to occupy that slot in your mind. And this is the key lesson of positioning. Limited bandwidth. There's only room for one in each category. It's a winner take all when it comes to positioning. There is a case where there can be second place. We're going to get to that a little bit later. But in general, as a rule, there's room for only one. Winner takes all. There is no second place. You either own that position in the customer's mind, in the prospect's mind, or you're a zero. It's on or off. The human mind can store a lot of information, and it's a very unusual memory device because, unlike a computer, which gets bogged down as you put more information into it. The more good information you put into the human mind, the more information it can hold. It's a strange phenomenon, but that's the way the mind works. If I already know a lot about Russian novels, I can add, it's easy for me to add more names about novelists and characters and plot lines, new ones, than it would be for somebody that knows nothing or only knows a little bit about it. So the more you know about a subject, the easier it is for you to add new information to your understanding. But that's not how the mind works when it comes to positioning. Positioning is like a file cabinet filled with folders. Now, normally, a folder can have as much as you can cram into it. 10 pieces of paper, 20 pieces of paper, 100 pieces of paper could fit in a folder. Not when it comes to positioning. Each folder is limited to one piece of paper. So the toothpaste folder, there's one piece of paper on there. And in my case, I use a kind of strange toothpaste from Weleda that's made in Switzerland. It's a long story. It's really good. That's what I use. I'm not using anything else. I'm not thinking about anything else. When it comes to toothpaste, boom, that's it. Weleda, you're in the file. Colgate's not getting in there. Pepsodent's not getting in there. Tom's, whatever. You know, nobody's getting in there. Crest, forget it. That file is full, done, over. I have a mechanic that I like. I'm not going to go to the Yellow Pages. I could cram the Yellow Pages into that into a folder. In the real world, I could cram the Yellow Pages into a folder. But in the positioning file cabinet of my mind, there's room for only one piece of paper. And I use the mechanic on Route 9, Ruggies. And they're a little expensive, but they're very thorough and they're very good. So that's that. And that's how it works for everything. So to win, you must be the one and only. Let's look at some winners. If we say pizza, fast delivery, who owns that positioning? Domino's. If we say a wristwatch that's incredibly durable, it takes a licking, but it keeps on ticking. Kind of gave you a hint with that old slogan, but Timex owns that. There's a lot of great watches in the world, but if you want a reliable watch, you're going to go with Timex. If you want overnight delivery that has huge impact, you could use DHL, you could use UPS, you could use the United Parcel, you could use the Postal Service. But when I say overnight with impact, for some reason FedEx owns that. Don't ask me why. Everybody's delivering the same thing pretty much. But in the file cabinet of the mind, the folder that says overnight delivery with high impact has FedEx stamped on it. If I say very sophisticated banking with high degree of privacy and a high degree of service, there's a lot of, what country does that? A lot of countries do that. But the one you're going to think of is Switzerland. They own the folder in the file cabinet of your mind when it comes to bank privacy and customer service. And we could just go on and on and on. One person wins. Great positioning is what lets you be seen and heard in an over-communicated to world. Otherwise, you are invisible. Now, I know that the second most famous and the third most famous companies, they make some money too. But number one, they're not making anywhere near as much in terms of market domination as the one that has the ultimate positioning. And number two, even for the people who are choosing the second and third and fourth companies, for some reason, those people have made the second company and the third company the dominant position in their mind. So the principle still works. So, even if something is not the biggest, for those people that are using it, in that limited case, that company has won the positioning in the minds of those particular people. All right, so how do you develop great positioning? Perhaps the lesson that preceded this one is making a lot more sense. If you go into the marketplace without a vision, without burning inspiration, without a mission, it's going to be very hard to get to this point where we are now. If you've done that, this becomes a lot easier. Okay, this is some of the most valuable stuff that I can ever offer anybody on any topic. but it's particularly important if you are looking for a great name. Step one to finding great positioning for your product or your company. You need to map your product's, your prospect's mind very precisely. What's already in his or her mind? How do they think about pizza? How do they think about delivery? How do they think about private banking? You need to know what's there. If you're going to rearrange what's there, you need to know what's there first. Second question, what position do I currently own? This might be depressing because you might never have thought of marketing and business in these terms and therefore have never put much energy into the idea of positioning. So your positioning possibly might be a little vague, might be not clear in your own mind. And if it's not clear in your mind, it's almost certainly not going to be clear in the marketplace's mind. But you need to know that. You need to know where you are to figure out how you're going to get to where you want to be. It's just like, you know, if you go to the gym and you can't lift 10 pounds, all right, you can lift 9 pounds. That's our baseline. Now we're going to make some improvements. So what position do you currently own? What position do you want to own? I think I've already defined that. There's a file cabinet in the mind of your prospect. There's a whole bunch of folders. You can put every, you can pack it with an infinite number of folders, but there's only one folder for every slice of reality, and every one of those folders is limited to one piece of paper. So, with that in mind, what folder do you want to own? What aspect, what piece of reality that's in your prospect's mind do you want to own? So that when they think of X, they instantly think of you and nobody else. Who must you outgun? In other words, there may be somebody in that file, in that folder. Now, you've got to get them out and you in. Or you in and them out, however the whatever order it takes place in. When the smoke clears, you've got to be the one in that folder. So there might already be somebody in that folder that you want to be in. Who is it? Is there anybody? There may not be anybody, but you need to know. There's no such thing as a product that lives in a vacuum that just sort of appears and it's never evaluated in relation to other products in the market. No. It doesn't work that way. Whatever you do in the marketplace is being seen in the context of a whole bunch of other things that are going on. Remember when I came up with Optimal Learning? I came up with that name because I had to acknowledge that there were speed reading, rapid reading, fast reading, quick reading, rapid reading, you know, super fast reading, speedy reading. That's what was there. That's who I had to outgun. I had to deal with all that to be the only thing left, the only thing in that folder. Okay, the easiest way to win and own positioning is to be the first. It really helps. It really helps. If there is no market for a certain item and you're the first company to come out with it, well, by definition, you're the item that's in everybody's folder because there is nothing else that could even go in there, right? And even when new people pile on, well, you were the first. Like Columbus, for example. You know, it's sort of a silly story because America was already here. He didn't discover it. It was here. There were people already here. But the story is Columbus discovered America. That story never changes because he was the first. You can't go back and change who the first was. And so even though there were other explorers, Verrazzano and De Soto and all, you know, kind of know those guys, but if I say, you know, major discoverer of America, everyone's going to say Columbus. So he benefits from having been the first. Sometimes you're not the first. In fact, most of the time, you're not. There's already somebody in the marketplace. There might be a lot of somebodies in the marketplace. What do you do then? This is where the real money's made. Knowing that there is a file cabinet in everyone's mind, knowing that there is a folder for every slice of reality in everyone's mind, in that file cabinet, knowing that, here's the key, knowing that there's room for an infinite number of folders, you now have the answer to what you do to develop winning positioning when there's already somebody in the market. Could be a huge player, could be a player with billions of dollars. But you can have a position, you can have a bulletproof positioning, even in the market like that is like that. Even if there are 1,000 players, how do you do that? How do you do that? Well, if you put all the elements that I just told you, you have the answer. Remember, I said everybody has a file cabinet in their mind. In that file cabinet are folders. Every folder is limited to one piece of paper. The file cabinet can hold an infinite number of folders, and there's where the answer is. You create a new folder. You figure out how to slice the market, how to cut off a piece of the market that's unique to you, and you become the winner in that folder. Let me give you an example. If I say the most romantic city on earth, a lot of people are going to say Paris, right? You're not going to say Oklahoma City or Tallahassee, Florida or Baton Rouge, Louisiana. You know, you're just not going to. You're going to say Paris. So how? Let's say you're a city and you want to boost revenue for your city. You want to create more business for the local hotels, the local restaurants, the local tourist attractions. How do you do that? If Paris is already the number, you know, the romantic destination, they've already won. They are the piece of paper in the folder that says most romantic city in the world. Well, if I were in Oklahoma and I was tasked with increasing tourist traffic to Tulsa, I would figure out, hopefully there's some truth to it, I would figure out and discover and uncover all the romantic aspects of Tulsa. I would organize them, put them all together, I'd highlight them. I'd tell the story of how Tulsa is really a place for lovers. And I would declare Tulsa the most romantic city in Oklahoma. I can't win most romantic city in the world. You're not going to displace Paris. They've had that for 200 years, and they're probably going to have it for another 200 years. But what I can do is slice the market up and take a piece of the market and own that folder. By the way, it reminds me, you know, Virginia, I don't know if they still do this, or was it Virginia Beach? I can't remember. I think it was Virginia Beach. But they declared themselves Virginia Beaches for lovers. You know, they suddenly, you know, I don't know if you've ever been to Virginia Beach. It ain't Paris. You know, it's barely Camden, New Jersey, you know, better than Camden, New Jersey. But it created a folder. And for those people that lived in Virginia or lived near Virginia and couldn't quite make it to Paris, well, they had it in their minds that somehow Virginia Beach was a good place to go for a romantic getaway. But let's go back. Let's not lose the overall point in the telling of the story. There's only room for one piece of paper in each folder. If the folder is already occupied, it's going to take tremendous energy, money, time, and every other resource you can imagine to dislodge somebody who's strongly positioned in that folder. The smart thing to do, the easy thing to do, the lucrative thing to do is to figure out how you can make a folder that you uniquely own and then position yourself in that to win that folder, defend that folder, own that folder, and you'll have the number one positioning in your marketplace. Now think of how valuable this is. If I'm Paris, I don't have to even advertise to have people come to Paris on romantic. I've got it so locked up, people just do it naturally. If I've convinced you to use Colgate mint toothpaste, as soon as I've convinced you, I'm done. I might advertise to get new people, but I don't have to advertise to get you. You're in. I've got you forever. And that's what you're going for. A slice, and all marketing is it involves figuring out a slice to take. You never get the whole market. Nobody ever gets the whole market. You never get 100%. What you do get are slices. And your job as an entrepreneur, as a marketer, as a strategist, as a business owner, is to figure out what slice do I want to own? What slice is lucrative? What slice is nobody else occupying? What slice can I take now because there's nobody else around and then defend? That's the essence of marketing and business. Now, I said that there's no number two. There's only a number one and everybody else is out of luck. Sometimes your positioning can be that you are number two. I don't advise it. It's something usually that huge companies do. As a small company, I think you're better off finding your own folder and, you know, winning it. But for instance, what's Avis? Avis is always second to Hertz. And their headline, their slogan used to be, "We try harder." Hey, we admit we're not number one, but boy, we work harder than the guy who's number one. That's an interesting positioning. Apple computers. Hey, PCs rule the world. Apple's an alternative. Now, so there's actually a folder in people's minds that says alternative to the PC. And what's in that folder? Apple. 7-Up. When I was a kid, they used to call it the Uncola. All right, so there's Pepsi, and there's Coke, and there's Dr. Pepper, and there's root beer, and, you know, RC Cola. There's all these colas. Well, we're a cola too, but we're the Uncola. All right, so when people are thinking of, okay, a clear alternative to soda, they were going to own, they were working to own that folder. So the solution to all positioning challenges is in the prospect's mind. What's in there, and what are you trying? What's already in there? What do you want to occupy? What can you realistically occupy? And then go for it. And you usually go for it by figuring out a unique slice of the market that you can have, that you can own. And that becomes your folder. And believe me, there are few things in business nicer than being that one piece of paper in the folder. I hope this is making sense to you. I hope you see how naming a company is not just pulling a name out of the air. And even though a lot of people do it that way. And the reason a lot of people do it that way is they don't know how to do it any better. And that's the reason why we have so many lame business names out there. So in this course, you're learning how to go deep. You're building a foundation, you know, a deep, broad foundation. So that as you're developing business names, you're not just taking random shots in the dark. They're flowing from a very informed understanding of the positioning that you want to occupy in the marketplace, which in turn is flowing from your very deep felt feeling about your mission in the marketplace. And when you've got these things working for you, it becomes so much easier to come up with a good name. So you might do some homework. Why are you in business? Why are you launching this product? Why does it matter? How is it going to make people's lives better? How is it different than everything else that's out there? In the file cabinet of your prospect's mind, what folder do you want to occupy? All these answering, working with and answering all these questions is going to make your naming process 1,000 times easier and give you 1,000 times better results. It's also going to make you a stronger company. It's also going to make you a more effective marketer. So this might be a time to put the course away for a little bit, go through these questions, come up with some answers that make you sing, you know, that you really think, wow, this is great. I really know what I'm doing and why I'm doing it and the effect that I want to create in the minds of my prospects and customers with this new name, with this new company, with this new product. Once you've got that, then we can get into the nuts and bolts and the mechanics of naming.